Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Good morning. How you guys doing? Got my stuff. Thanks, fellas. Appreciate it. So you guys having a good day today so far? It's a little chilly out there, but I love the winter, man. Take it over summer any day, you know what I mean? Well, I hope you guys are doing good. Today is going to be, I'm going to do my best to be quick, to be fast, and there's a reason for that. It's because basically it's Sunday, and I want you to be able to spend more time with your family. And so I'm going to try to be quick, but we have a lot to get through, so I'm going to get right into it. No dilly-dallying, you know what I'm saying? There's no messing around. So let's pray, and let's ask God to flow through me, but let's also ask God to speak to you. Sometimes when we're at church and we are listening, sometimes we will hear what the pastor says, and that'll resonate, but sometimes we'll hear something else, right? Sometimes we'll hear something that we've been hearing throughout the last few weeks, and basically what I'm saying is it's okay to have a little ADD. If God is speaking in that, write it down, and whatever God is showing you, that's what you should be obedient to, right? So let's pray, and let's believe that God has something for every single person, even the doubter today, right? There's a couple of you out there. You're like, this isn't for me. Why am I here? I was dragged here. I was tricked. If that's you, I want to tell you right now that God has you here, that he sets appointments, and you made it to the appointment, so good job on that. But be listening, because you have something important for you. And some of you guys have been here for a long time, and you're just in the rut. You're in the rut of just doing things, right? And for you, I want you to know and understand and believe that God can surprise you again, that God can give you something fresh, that God can give you something good. In fact, that's all God does, is gives us something fresh. Right? When God gives fruit, it is straight from the vine. It's straight from the tree. It's fresh and it's ripe. And so be listening for what God has for you. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for this day. And God, I just pray that you would just speak to us, Lord, and show us what you want to show us, God, as we've said. Lord, we offer ourselves to you this morning. And we just ask that you would put inside of us, Lord, just the ability to connect with your Holy Spirit today, God. I pray, Lord, that you would just give us the ability to listen, to hear, and to obey and act upon the things that we hear. And we just thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So we're going to start today in the book of Genesis, the very beginning of the Bible. And I'm not going to pull up the verses like we normally do today. Instead, I have slides, and I have the verses written down, or they're in the notes here. And so you can write them down. The reason I did that is because sometimes I think we get lazy. We read them on the screen, and we read it, and then we go home, and that's that. What I want you to do is, if there's a scripture that hits you that you think, man, I need to look more into that, I want you to write down the address of that scripture, and I want you to go home and read it yourself, okay? And ask God what he has, you know, for you in that. So we're going to start in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, one day." So God, by the way, the title of this message, I kind of got ahead of myself, is about time. It's a biblical perspective on time management. How many of you guys, you do and you are into having New Year's resolutions? Anybody? That's exactly the response I thought I was going to get. One person. Okay. And the reason, and I appreciate that. I like that because you have hope. You still believe that you can do it, right? And I love that. Everyone else has given up on themselves. Literally everybody else. We've all, it's us that we lose hope in, right? It's not God. It's not the community. It's not anything. It's us because we know that we have set resolutions over and over and over, and we've tried to change, right? And we fail ourselves. And I think what it is if you're anything like me, sometimes we overcommit, right? Like we put this huge, huge, lofty goal in front of us, and sometimes it's not even specific, right? It's like I'm gonna get really sexy and hot this year, and smarter, and I'm going to make more money. It's like, okay, well, how really you're gonna do all that? First of all, pick one. Second of all, be specific, right? If you want to look better, try losing 5 pounds. You know what I mean? Like, that's a specific goal, but we don't do that. And we also make it's like if the goal's not big enough, it's not worth having, right? Well, here's a simple idea for you guys today, okay? If anybody asks you about resolutions and you are unsure of yourself, okay? But if you are sure of yourself, then do it. Go for it. Make the resolutions and stick to them. But if you're unsure of yourself, just tell people this. Say, 2020 is going to be better. That's simple, right? It's going to be better because you're going to be growing and you're going to be better. And so in this first scripture that I just read in Genesis chapter 1, we have the first idea of God's system, right? He created this system of time, and time management is huge when it comes to any type of change. We have to be able to make the best of our time. So that's what we're talking about. So Genesis chapter 1:1-5, God creates days and nights and seasons. Now, when God created this back in Genesis, they didn't have Apple Watches, right? They didn't have watches at all. They didn't have clocks. They had days. They knew that it was nighttime or they knew it was daytime. It's much like my 3-year-old daughter. Like, she does not know how to read time. She doesn't know how to tell time, so she never knows what time it is at all. If you ask her any time of the day what time it is, usually she says 3 o'clock. I don't know why, but that's just what's stuck in her head. And so she has no clue, and I kind of like it. It's very simple, but it's funny because in the middle of she'll wake up like right when it turns light because she thinks that that's day, and she'll come into our room and we're not awake because we were up until midnight or whatever, right, with the new baby. So it's a whole thing. Anyway, she'll come in as soon as it's light and she'll jump on our bed and say, "Wake up, mommy! Wake up, daddy! It's daytime!" Right. Just a simpler mindset. And that's how it was back in Genesis. It was just a simpler mindset. When it's daytime, you're awake, you're working, you're doing stuff. And when it's nighttime, you're sleeping. And then beyond that, God created seasons, right? There are certain times of the year where the days are longer, certain times of the year where days are shorter. We just got through that hump of the shortest day of the year, and now it's going to start going towards the longer days of the year where it's light. And so God created this system for us to live in and to work in. And we don't always know when the weather's going to turn, when one season's going to happen. You know, we don't know when it's going to be summer exactly, when it's going to be fall exactly, or winter exactly. But we do know about the time, right? And we've learned to take the system that God created and we've learned to measure it probably too much, probably to the point where it becomes stressful. How many of you guys have reminders on your phone, like that tell you to do stuff, right? Like, how many of you guys are stressed out about that reminder, right? It's like, oh gosh, by 3 o'clock I have to do this, by 4 o'clock I have to do this, by 5 o'clock I have to do this, and it stresses us out. Sometimes I wonder what would happen if we just lost our clocks and said, okay, it's sun up and I'm going to work until sundown and see how that goes. It might be a simpler way. So the first point that I wanted to just get into our heads, and we're going to go somewhere with this, but the first point, go ahead and go to the next slide, is that God created a system, okay? God created this system originally. He started off by creating the system of days and nights, of limits, basically, right? We work during the day, and we rest at night. That's the way it should be, right? How many of you guys are night owls, and you end up staying up half the night, and then you end up getting no sleep, right? God designed us to get rest. So if you want 2020 to be better, try to go to bed earlier. I know this is like something you probably didn't want to hear at church or don't need to hear at church, but sleep is really important. Some of you, honestly, I'm going to say this right now, some of you, your marriages are failing because you're not getting enough sleep. It's that simple. Because you guys are stressed out. When you don't get enough sleep, that affects your body, it affects your mind, it affects everything. In fact, that wasn't even in my notes this morning. My note was just that God created a system. But this idea that we don't get enough sleep is not, we really need to have that. We really need to have the provisions that God gives us. And then get the things done you got to get done during the day. Your work desk is not the place to sleep, right? Because God created us with limits. I mean, that's the point. That God created us with limits. And if we don't adhere to those limits, our bodies will be shut down. Our bodies will be ineffective. And that's when disease comes. That's when all these issues come. And that matters because you have a job to do. That matters because God has put you here for a reason. That matters because God needs you to do what you and only you can do. God needs you to minister to your family. God needs you to take care of your loved ones. God needs you to be in the community and the workplace that you're in, right? So we have to take care of ourselves within that system that God created. The next part that I want to talk to you guys about, go to the next slide, is in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes is a really cool book. But in chapter 3, there's this scripture that sounds a lot like a Beatles song. And it says, there's an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. It says a time to give birth and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down, a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to throw stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, a time to shun embracing, a time to search and a time to give up as lost, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear apart, a time to sew together, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. In verse 9, it says, what profit is there to the worker from that in which he toils? I have seen the task which God has given the sons of men with which to occupy themselves. But in verse 11, it says, he has made everything appropriate in his time. Right? Everything is appropriate in his time. Have you ever met somebody that doesn't understand how to act in certain moments or doesn't understand the appropriateness of time? You know, if you're at a funeral, it's not appropriate to laugh, right? If you're at a wedding, it's not appropriate to cry and bawl the whole time, right? It's different. It's there's different seasons for different things. And so the next thing that I want to get in your mind here is that God has a calendar, that he sets certain events. And he knows that certain circumstances are coming your way. You don't know. We don't know what's around the corner. But God does. And the things that he's doing in you today is preparing you for what's around the corner. Sometimes I think it's easy for us to complain or even be confused or wonder, why is this happening to me? Why am I struggling in this area? Still, you know, I should be over this thing that I'm still struggling with. Why am I still worrying about finances? Why am I still worried about this certain sin? Whatever it is, like, God can use those things to prepare you for the future, right? He can, because he knows what's around the corner. And I think that if there's one thing that God's been speaking to me about is I need to have more discipline and I need to listen to God today, because what happens today will affect tomorrow, right? So go back to that slide again. Go back to the Ecclesiastes slide real quick. So God has a calendar, okay? If God has a refrigerator, he has events set up. And in 2020, you have no idea what's around the corner, but God does. So he has it. He's watching it. Go to the next slide. Joshua, in the book of Joshua, there's this interesting passage, very interesting passage, where Joshua had picked up where Moses had left off, and he's leading the children into the promised land, the children of Israel. They had left Egypt, and they went on this journey, and finally they're getting into the promised land, and the promised land represents, like, God's promises for us, right? God calls us to a better life. He calls us to more fruit, more riches, to be in a better place than we are today, right? And in that journey, like, once we get there, we think, oh, great, we should arrive. Well, in Joshua's case, and in our case, many times, when you finally arrive to the place that you're supposed to be, you realize that it's not peaceful. It's not as peaceful as you think it's going to be. And for Joshua and the children of Israel, once they crossed the Jordan River into the Promised Land, they encountered enemies. They encountered people that were there that did not want them to be there, and they had to fight these people. And a lot of that is symbolic for our lives today, that not that we have to fight people, but we have to fight battles. Our battle isn't against individuals. Our battle is against other things, right? Principalities, demonic forces, other things that we have to fight. Sometimes our battle is against ourselves, but sometimes when we are sent to a place that God is sending us to, we think it's going to be easy, but it's not. And so in the case of Joshua, he came and he fought some battles, and he lost some battles at the beginning, and then he came back around, and then he fought, and then he started winning because he had God with him, because he did it the way that God wanted him to do it versus doing it the way that he wanted to do it, right? Sometimes we want to do things the way we want to do them to make a point. I don't know. Because we just think we know better? I don't know. But when we do things just the way God would have us do them, which requires listening daily, which requires obeying God daily, then things tend to go much smoother, right? And so Joshua and the children of Israel, they are fighting against an enemy, and they're winning. They're winning the battle because they're doing it the way God wanted them to do it. In verse 12, it says, Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the sons of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, O sun, stand still at Gibeon, O moon in the valley of Aijalon. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped until the nation avenged themselves of their enemies. Is it not written in the book of Jashar? And the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. So Joshua is fighting this battle, and they're winning, but they need more time. And so he asks God to stop time, to give them more time. And it says here that God gave him a whole extra day. And it says in verse 14, and there was no day like it before it or after it when the Lord listened to the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. So this point that I want you to understand here is that God can edit his system. Now, I don't know if you can't get all your work done tomorrow. It's an 8-hour day, you know. I don't know if by 4 p.m., if you're way behind, if you ask God to stop the sun, if he'll do it. I don't know. I'm not saying he won't. But the point that I want you to understand here is it said that the Lord fought for Israel, is that he actually came through for them, that he actually gave them what they needed in the moment of need. When was the last time you asked God for something as simple as more? The other day, I was way behind. It was a Wednesday night, and I was really behind because we have a new baby. I have a million excuses, but at the end of the day, I was way behind, and I got in here, and I started studying. Sometimes I'll come to the church. It's the quiet place, and I started studying, and I realized I had, like, just a couple of hours to prepare a sermon, and I started freaking out a little bit, just a little bit, right? And I asked God, I said, Lord, please let this help me to make the most out of the time that I have right here. And I promise, I'm not kidding, I'm not making this up. I feel like I had 6 hours in that 2 hours. I know God didn't stop my watch. My watch kept going, but it felt like time literally slowed down. It was really interesting. And if you start studying time, if you Google what is time, your mind will be blown, because some people, they believe that time can be slowed down and sped up. It's really weird. Like time is actually getting faster, like literally is getting faster because of gravity. I don't know. I went on nerd mode one day on it, and it confused the heck out of me. But the point is that God will fight for you. When was the last time that you asked God for something that is illogical? When was the last time your logical brain got in the way of you asking for God, or asking God for something that is illogical? God can perform miracles, right? Doesn't mean he always will. He's going to perform. He's going to do what he's going to do. And his purpose is to advance his kingdom. But why not ask, right? If you're in God's will, if you're doing what he's called you to do, why not ask for help? Why not? That's what they did. God came through. So God can edit his system. Let's go to the next slide. In also in the book of Genesis, we have a story of a man named Joseph. And I went back and read the story. It's such an incredible story. The life of Joseph should be a movie. I'm just saying that. If anybody out there is a movie producer, just I'm sure there are plenty of you out there. But the story of Joseph is amazing. It has all these ups and downs, all these valleys and all these hills. And Joseph literally went through hell. He was thrown into a pit by his brothers, pulled out of the pit by his brothers, sold into slavery by his brothers, and then he ended up being a slave in a foreign land. But God was with him the whole time, and he kept rising to power in this foreign land. And so we have in the book of Genesis chapter 41, we have Joseph, who is a slave, who has been thrown in jail, who's been pulled out of jail, and he is in a position to where he can speak directly to Pharaoh, who is the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh has a dream. And his dream is really strange. It involves cows. It's weird. You can go back and read it. But the basic gist of his dream, of Pharaoh's dream, was that there would be a really good 7 years, a really profitable 7 years. And then following that, there would be a famine for 7 years. And Joseph interprets this, but not only does he interpret it, he has a plan and he comes up with a plan. And the plan is this, that because there's going to be 7 years of fruitfulness, 7 years of, you know, the crops are going to produce for 7 years really well, we need to take a portion of everything that we produce in that 7 years, and we need to set it aside because the famine is coming. And so Joseph was put in charge of that. They set the food aside. Joseph ends up being reunited with his brothers because they have to come to Egypt, because Egypt's the only place that ends up having food because Joseph was in a position. Anyway, it's a great story. You got to go back and read it. But the point is, and it's a huge point, right, is that God will put things in our hearts and put things in our minds so that we can prepare for the future. Maybe things have been really good for you. I know that the economy is pretty good right now. I know it's not good for everybody personally, but for some of you guys, it's been really good. And for those of you that it's been really good, realize that a famine could be coming. I'm not saying it's going to for sure, but more than likely, things don't stay good forever, right? They just don't. If you look at the patterns of life, if you look at the pattern of Wall Street, for example, It doesn't just go like this, right? It doesn't just go up, 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 up. It goes up, down, up, down, up, down, and then up, you right? It fluctuates a lot. And there's an old proverb. It's not in the Bible, but the proverb is, "This too shall pass." And it's true in almost every circumstance, right? When things are really bad, you can tell yourself, "This too shall pass. It's going to get better." It is going to get better. When things are really good, right, it's also true that things will not stay good. So prepare. Use the good times to prepare. Don't just, when you get a raise at work, don't just go spend it on something else, right? Like, don't just go crazy and go nuts. I mean, that's what happens is people get, they make a ton of money and they do really well in life and then they go spend it all and then they lose their job, right? And then they cry and they whine, but God was giving them that provision to prepare for the future, right? So God warns us so that we can prepare. So the last slide, and I'm going to tie it all together, is don't worry about tomorrow, right? Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, he says, "Do not be anxious for tomorrow." Do not be anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So don't worry about tomorrow. Don't stress about tomorrow, right? Focus on today. You can prepare for tomorrow. You can work hard, but all you can only do what you can only do today, right? So don't worry about tomorrow. Philippians 4:4-7. Says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing." That word anxious is there again. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." So when you worry, when you stress out, just pray and let it go. Pray and let it go, right? And if there's something you can do today, do it today. If there's a problem you can fix today, do it today. But so many things are out of our control, and we end up worrying about the things that are completely out of our control. And all that does is waste energy. All that does is creates a bad habit of chronic anxiety. When we worry about the things that we cannot control, right? It's important for us to be honest about what we can and what we can't control, right? I talked about preparedness a second ago. Being prepared is working on the things that you can work on to help make sure that tomorrow's good. But control is obsessing. It's different. It's obsessing over everything and being frustrated when you can't control everything, or being frustrated when you can't control the people around you. You're being frustrated. Now, that's a disease. That's not a good thing. Huge difference. Huge difference between being diligent and being prepared and being a control freak. How many of you guys, just be honest? I'm a control freak, right? See, you don't even want to raise your hand. I get it. Because that would be relinquishing control, right? You don't even want to do it. Do what you can and let everything else wait till tomorrow. Do what you can today and be honest about that. What can I actually handle today? What can I actually do today? You have so many hours in the day. God set up a system, remember? He set up a system to where we have limits. We have so many waking hours of the day, and we only have enough time to get the things done that we have to get done. I read a lot of like entrepreneurial books and like a lot of books of these people that make a lot of money, and I still haven't figured out how to do it. But one of the things that I have learned is the most successful people in the world, their to-do lists are very small. They basically are happy with accomplishing just a couple things a day. And it's because they understand that our time, there's limits on our time. There are only so many things that we can do well. I'm reading a book called Essentialism. It's pretty good. It's basically the idea is focus on what's essential and not worry about everything else. And the whole idea of that book, I can just save you $15, is less but better. Less but better. Focus on doing less, but do it really, really well. Because so many of us, we do so many things, and we don't do them well. We try to please everyone. That word anxiety, by the way, when Jesus says don't be anxious, that word also means care for others. It means like caring for others, which can be a really good thing to do, right? It's like in a lot of situations, God would have us love our neighbors, love the people around us, and we want to be able to care for them, right? And so when God has us do that, we do that. But again, there's a fine line between that and becoming obsessed about pleasing everybody. That is not what we're called to do. We're not called to try to do everything that everyone wants us to do, because that is going to stress you out even more, right? And not only stress you out, it's going to cause you to be ineffective because you're not really getting anything done. And then at the end of the day, you end up blaming everyone else because they took your time. Truth is, they didn't take your time. You gave it to them, right? Your first and foremost responsibility is to God. And if God leads you to do something, do it well. Finish it. Do a good job, right? Don't worry about what everyone else wants you to do. Because when you wake up tomorrow, you're going to have 10, 15 emails. You're going to have all these text messages. And if it's your boss, yeah, listen to them because they pay you. There's something there, right? But if it ain't your boss and it ain't your husband and it ain't your wife, consider it. Do I have time to do this? Is this something I need to be doing? And don't be afraid, guys. Listen, do not be afraid to say no. It is not unloving to say no to people. In fact, it is a requirement if you are to say yes to the things that God has called you to say yes to. You're going to have to learn to say no. You're going to have to learn to put your foot down. You can be nice about it. You don't have to be a jerk, right? Hey, can you do these five things? No, get out of here, right? You don't have to do that. You can say, you know what? I would love to do those things. However, I have these other things that are very important to do. You get in a mindset of doing that, your life is going to be, it's just going to be smoother. And you're going to get the things done that you're called to get done. So I want to look at this outline one more time. And I want to see, it was funny, I didn't even see this until this morning. But this is such a beautiful thing. My first point was God created a system. Second point was God has a calendar. Third point is God can edit his system. The fourth point is God warns us so we can prepare, right? So you got God, 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 God. God does all these things, and at the very end, so don't worry. Because he has it covered. He has it taken care of. He's going to give you exactly what you need today to get the things done today that you need to get done today. And then tomorrow, you wake up, whatever happens, happens, man. You got to listen. You got to listen and obey. And whatever God has for you, just run with it. Walk with him. When a challenge comes, say, this could be good. Right? This could be interesting. Let's see what God has for me with this challenge. When a scare comes, this could be interesting. Let's see what happens. What's going to happen is you're going to become fearless because you're going to learn to trust them every single day. Right? So let's do that. 2020 will be better. Right? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for this day. And thank you that we were able to finish a little early today. I pray that we would all take that extra time to reach out to somebody today and love, not because we have to, but because we can, because we get to, because we have that extra time. And so, Lord, I pray, God, that you would just guide us by your Spirit and give us the tools that we need and give us the gifts that we need. And more than anything, Lord, help us to learn to surrender to you and to your plan today. Lord, there's a million things that we could worry about. But Lord, you want our attention on you and what you have for us. And so we just thank you for everything you give. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you guys want prayer, there's people up here to get prayer from.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Give us our king.